A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ." And he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of God must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at the disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd and with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The gospel of the Lord. I've always seen this visit up to Caesarea Philippi with Jesus and his disciples as one of the real crucial moments in the gospel. There's another version of this with a lot more detail in St. Matthew's Gospel. But this is the moment where Jesus takes the disciples way up north, all the way, today it would be the Lebanese border, way up there, one of the furthest trips Jesus ever made. And Caesarea Philippi was kind of a pagan shrine. It was a city filled with Roman pagans, and they had all sorts of worship of false gods there. There's a big cliff. And they had all these statues carved into the cliff, and they used to carry on with all sorts of immoral, kind of blasphemous worship services, as you might call it. It was a place of real evil. No self-respecting Jew would ever go to that place. It'd be going like to, I don't know, a red light district or something, but a terrible place. And Jesus takes his disciples up there, seemingly to pose a question to them. Who do you say that I am? Because here is the world, the power of all the world, all the evil, all the sin right there in this pagan shrine. And there was water that flowed from the cave in the bottom of the mountainside, and they call that the gate of hell. Like that was like the entryway to hell, or the way hell would empty out to the earth, at least in the way of thinking of the people of that time. And so Jesus, taking his disciples there, in a way, symbolically, he's saying, okay, this is what the world believes in. Who do you say that I am? And here in St. Mark's Gospel, Peter says, "You are the Christ." That is the anointed one, the Messiah. You're the one that's been sent by God. In St. Matthew's Gospel, he speaks even more. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter and the apostles put their faith in Jesus, and they reject everything that the world has there, everything the world offers in terms of sin, and comfort, and selfishness. And Jesus turns to Peter in the other gospel and says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Therefore, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," speaking of the water flowing out from the cave, "the gates of hell and all of this here will not prevail against my church." In effect, he's making Peter the first pope, in that quote there. And it's a moment of an act of great faith by Peter and also a blessing by Jesus. And then suddenly, Jesus begins to speak about the cross. If you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross every day and follow me. I too have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. Well, this new Pope Peter was having none of that. Wait a minute, everything's going so well. We know who we are. We've got the right plan. We've got these crowds following us. Far be it from you, Jesus, to suffer. No. I know the way we should do this. Let's consolidate our support. Let's build a big movement. Let's be successful, and we'll overcome this evil. And Peter rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do." Big come down. He was just appointed Pope, and now he's being called Satan. But Peter misses something, and I think we're in danger of missing the same thing always. And this is a challenge to us as a church always. That the Messiah that we want too often is the Messiah that's going to come and be successful. He's going to make us successful. He's going to take away all our problems. He's going to wipe out all the opposition. He's going to give us smooth sailing. And while he's at it, he's going to heal and cure everybody. And we'll go on with our human lives here on this earth, happy as Larry. And that's the kind of Messiah all too often we're looking for. And that's certainly what Peter was giving voice to. A Messiah that would be there to make our lives easier, to make our walk with the Lord much more rewarding and much more pleasant. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, that's not the right idea of the Messiah. The Messiah has to suffer and die to save the world. To redeem us, Christ is going to have to go to the cross. And he's trying to prepare them for that, so they won't see it as a catastrophic failure when he's crucified, but the mystery of God working out our salvation. And then he turns to the disciples and he tells them all. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you too have to take up your cross and follow me every day. See, there's something much more mysterious than simply having a God that's going to make our lives comfortable and pleasant. It's somehow we're involved in this work of salvation. That's why in this letter to St. James, he says, yeah, you say you have faith, and that's enough to be saved, but faith without works is dead. See, in other words, we have to participate in this work of salvation. There's the sense in which each of us carries a little share of Jesus' cross. And we face that all the time with our own illness, death, the suffering along the way, the setbacks we face in life, the crosses we carry, everything from illness to infidelity of others, betrayals we face, problems we can't solve, financial crises, and all those things we consider setbacks and rejections. That's our share in this mystery of salvation. And that's why this desire for a Messiah, we have to purify it all the time. We have to make sure we're believing in the right kind of Messiah. Otherwise, we could be on the receiving end of Jesus' rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. You don't think like God does. You think like human beings do. But the prophet Isaiah kind of summed up for us that it's not just this lonely carrying the cross. It's that God accompanies us and he walks with us. God said to Isaiah, "The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I've set my face like flint, knowing I shall not be put to shame. The Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? See, we go confident that, yeah, we're involved in this mystery of salvation. We're wrapped up in it too. But we've got God at our side. We got Jesus who walks along with us in the dark valley, in any challenge that we face. The Lord is there with us. He went to the cross first, and he helps us carry ours as well.